think we're too far into 2018 that I can't say Happy New Year. Hope it's started out to be a good one. I really hope that we all have a really good year. Being on planet Earth, we'll have a mixture of battles and blessings, but I hope when December 31, 2018 hits and we do a little reflecting, we can say, you know, God blessed me during this year, and I learned some things, and blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Auburn, California, has recently been in the national news. Now, you may not have known that, but the reason they were in the national news was because of an open-door policy. Now, when I heard about this news story, it really caught my eye because Valerie and I lived in Auburn, California for nearly 8 years. I pastored there, and so being a resident of Auburn for that amount of time, whenever Auburn comes up on the news, my attention is caught. In fact, the place that we lived was less than a mile from the story that I'm about to share with you. About a month ago, the residents of a place called the Auburn Greens got a paper put on their front door. And stamped on this paper in big, giant red letters was the word urgent. And it went on to inform the residents that starting on January 1, 2018, New Year's Day, that it would be a requirement made by the Homeowners Association of the Auburn Greens Housing Tract that everyone would be required to keep their garage door open during the hours of 8 a.m. through 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. And if you did not do that, you would be subject to a $200 fine. Now, I have to smile at this point in time because I lived in a community where it was the requirement that you keep your garage door closed during the day. I mean, you could certainly drive your car in and out, but you were not to keep the garage door open. But in this community, an edict came from the Homeowners Association that said starting January 1, just 13 days ago, that the residents were required, it was a rule, punishable by $200 fine. You had to keep your garage door open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., wide open. Now, you're probably thinking the same thing that one of the residents did, who was quoted as saying, "This will just be an open-door policy to say to everyone, welcome, come steal whatever you want out of our garage." Well, evidently, when this story made the news, not only in California, but across the United States and maybe even farther, there was a big backlash. And because of that backlash, this homeowner's edict was rescinded. It was revoked. It had been enacted because someone had, from the Homeowners Association, had found out that one of the residents was having someone live in their garage and charging rent to them. I don't think that's probably the worst sin in the world, but the Homeowners Association didn't want that. And so, excuse me, they rescinded that, and they actually admitted that this was maybe a little bit of an overreaction to what could have been actually a very limited problem. So, an open-door policy to keep your garage door open. Well, speaking of open-door policies, we continue our series in this first part of the new year that I'm calling Open Doors. Open Doors. And the theme of this series is that Scripture often talks about doors that are open. And often when Scripture talks about an open door, it is a door that is open for opportunity. And you know what the saying is, when opportunity knocks, you know what to do. The theme of this time, this series, from Revelation 3, verse 8. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I placed before you a glass of water there, Bob. I'm kind of fighting some phlegm here. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So God opens doors, and human beings cannot shut the doors that God opens. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to look at the door of them all. And this is a door that is wide, wide, wide open. And praise the Lord that it is wide open. Before I start, I want to pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for being such a good God. And for opening doors of opportunity for us. And Lord, it is my prayer that each one of these dear people, me included, are able to walk through the doors that you have opened for us. Thank you for being such a big, powerful God who loves us and desires our good. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The open door that we're going to look at today is the most important door of them all. For this door is not found on planet Earth. It is found in heaven. And this door is open. In fact, it's not only open, but it is wide open. Thank you. Verse of Scripture that I want to direct us to is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, first part. And it reads like this. And this is John the Revelator, the disciple of Jesus that wrote Revelation. And he writes this. After this, I looked, and there was before me a door standing open in heaven. And I looked, and there was before me a door standing open in heaven. Now, there's a few things that we notice. That the door, number one, is not on earth, that it's in heaven. But also notice that this door is standing open. Now, we all have doors in our houses, and not all doors are the same. Doors go to closets, doors go to garages. There's the front door, there's the back door, there's all kinds of doors in our houses. But if a door is standing open, we have to do something to that door in order for it to be standing open. There has to be, well, first of all, the door has to be opened, and then there has to be some sort of stop put on the door. This is a common one. Sometimes there are wedges, and we use those in this church all the time because the doors automatically close. And I'm always going through that door over there by the fireside room that goes into the fellowship hall. And the only way to keep that door open is to take one of those wooden blocks to open the door and to wedge it in there. And we're always doing that. Here is a door that is standing open. It's standing open because someone has already opened the door and taken whatever steps it was to make this door stand open. Now, this is a special door because it's not an earthly door, and this door opens up to someplace very, very special. This door that John saw opened up into the very throne room of God. The most holy, the holy of holies. John, what a blessed guy he was to be able to see in vision not only heaven, but into the holy place where God's throne throne room is, and that's what he saw. Now, this very, very significant and important door is open, not because the wind blew it open or someone forgot to close it. I'm sure at one point in time, you have said to your child, as I have said to mine, were you born in the barn? Shut the door. We're trying to heat the outside? Shut the door. This door is opened because someone has opened it, and that someone keeps it in an opened position. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite passages from Hebrews 10, I think, says it so well. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Who opened the door? Jesus Christ. When did he open it? By his blood, that is a reference to the crucifixion, the cross of Christ. By his death, he opened up a life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, into God's throne room. Now, there was a temple in Jerusalem, and during the time when Jesus was crucified and before, there was a big curtain, sometimes called a veil, that separated the holy and the most holy place. This was an incredible scene. The curtain was 60 feet high. That's a long curtain. The fabric was this incredible 4-inch wide curtain. Can you even imagine how heavy this must have been? 60 feet high, 4 inches thick. And it was woven with beautiful linen thread of red and purple and blue colors. And it was a magnificent thing. Behind this curtain was the most holy place. And it was entered only once a year by the high priest. And that was during a day of repentance and soul searching called the Day of Atonement. Well, the Bible says that something happened when Jesus Christ was crucified. Matthew 27, 50 and 51 says this. Jesus again gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now again, this was a curtain that is 60 feet high. The curtain is 4 inches thick. And the fact that it is torn from top to bottom is just an indication that no human being tore this in two. It came from heaven, and it came from a God source, and it came from Jesus Christ. And it was torn when Jesus breathed his last. For when Jesus died on the cross, that moment that he died, he gained a victory over evil, over Satan. And that was the moment that the door got flung wide open for us. What an important symbol this is. The temple curtain down here on earth being torn, symbolic of the sanctuary in heaven. When Jesus opened up the way to the most holy place, where God's throne is, where God himself is. Therefore, we are told we can come boldly to heaven. Ephesians tells us that we can be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now think about that. You and I are sitting here. I'm standing. You're sitting. in a church in McKinleyville, California, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Savior, it is as if we can be seated with Him in the most holy place next to the throne of God. Woo! That's just incredible. Just incredible. Jesus has done everything necessary for us to have salvation full and complete. And He opened up the way to God that we can have access to Him. Now I want you to use your imagination. Anybody out there have a good imagination? Well, I want you to try to use it. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that Jesus has just ascended. That time when he spent 40 days after being resurrected, he lived on earth. He showed himself to many people as alive. And then after that time, he ascended. He went back to heaven. I want you to imagine in your imagination that Jesus has just returned to heaven, way up in the sky somewhere. Can you imagine what kind of welcoming committee there would be for the Son of God? This is the God being who willingly left heaven, where all he had known was the adoring bow worship of angels. All he had known was living in harmony with the Heavenly Father and the Spirit of God. And he leaves heaven and he comes to earth, and all of heaven watches this amazing scene while they're missing the Son of God for 33 years. And they see him being treated poorly, badly. They see him brutally murdered. But then he comes back home to heaven. Can we even imagine what a welcoming party that must have been when the Son of God, the conquering Savior, came back to heaven, and God, the Heavenly Father, the Dad, was reunited with his boy. Oh, I can't. The angel choirs must have broken out in song. There must have been hallelujahs bouncing off of all kinds of places. Jesus had returned to heaven. He had successfully defeated Satan. Amen. Amen. That must have been a welcoming party to outdo any welcoming party that had ever been imagined as Jesus came home as the conquering King of Kings. And his dad welcomes him there with open arms, and as he goes through the door that has been flung wide open to God's throne room, then Jesus, as conquering King, welcomed by the angels, he goes and he sits on the throne that is located at the right hand of God's throne. And Jesus functions as our heavenly high priest. He sits down on the throne because his work of redemption is done. He's done everything necessary for our salvation, full and complete. And because it's completed, it's finished, it's done, he can sit down. And now what he does is he applies his righteousness, his merits, to those of us who ask for forgiveness. And for Christ's sake, and not ours, but because of Christ, when we ask God to forgive our sins, God can look over at Jesus and say, "For your sake, I forgive you." Wow. Wow. It's all of Christ. It is all of Christ. He won the right to present as faultless to stand before the holy throne of God. And because we are clad in His righteousness alone, not of ourselves, it is all of Christ. It is all of Christ. And that's why I think Jesus calls himself in John 10 the door. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Amen. So Jesus is the door. And the door is wide open. It's propped open. It's standing open. And it's open for you and me. There is a door in heaven. And it is standing wide, wide, wide open. And because this door is standing open, we, sinful human beings here on earth, have access to the living God, the creator of all universe. We don't have to go through a priest to have access to God. We don't have to wait until we clean ourselves up and become a better Christian, conquering sins and living the Christ-like life to be able to be accepted by God. We can come as we are. We will never be perfect enough to enter in to God's heavenly throne room. But Jesus was good enough, and he is good enough. And through the miracle of this wonderful salvation process called justification, we can be declared as righteous when we, with a sincere heart, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Would you remember me in your kingdom, Lord? And we can be declared as having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. By his perfect doing and dying, we are faultless to stand in front of a holy God. Truly, ladies and gentlemen, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The door is standing wide open. However, the door will not always stand wide open. The Bible teaches that there will come a time where the door will be shut. You've probably heard about this parable of the wise and foolish virgins. There's something in here that is very thought-provoking. The bridegroom is a symbol of Jesus' coming. And it says, when the bridegroom arrived, the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. The wedding banquet is symbolic of being reunited with Jesus at the second coming. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. Later, the others, the foolish virgins, who did not have extra oil, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us, because it was shut. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. The passage ends this way, by saying, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Amen. There will come a time when this door that is standing wide open in heaven will no longer be open. It will be shut. It's open now, but one of these days, Jesus has promised to come back and end time on this earth as we know it. And if the door is going to close one of these days, it sort of is really important that we are right with God right now. Because Because if we breathe our last, that is like the second coming for us. That is like the door being shut. That's why it's so important to quote another Bible character named Joshua. Choose you this day. Choose you right now, this very moment, whom you will serve. And he kind of goes on to say, I don't know about anyone else, but as for me and my house, my family, we will choose the Lord.
Amen.
The door is open, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God for the open door, amen? Praise God that the door in heaven to God's throne room is wide open right now. It's propped open. There's a door stop there. And God is dearly wishing and hoping and desiring that every one of us decide to go up into God's throne room through the ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. He's just hoping that we access the most wonderful gift that we could ever be given, an open door into heaven. And he's hoping that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because we have made Jesus Christ our personal Savior. And God, for Christ's sake, on His merits, can treat us as if we had never sinned, having the same righteousness of Jesus through this wonderful transaction called justification. Have you made that decision? I have. I have. Most important decision that I've ever made. It's the most important decision that you can make. And it's not a decision that you make one day and you say, well, I'm good for the rest of my life. You make it every day, and you make it again and again, because we fall again and again and we are sinful and we need Jesus constantly. The door in heaven is standing open. That's the good news. The good news also is that Jesus has made a way. And he just wants us, by faith, to go right up into heaven through that door. And anyone can do it. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take a high IQ. But it does take a heart that wants it. Hope you've made that decision. Best and most important decision that any of us could ever make. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for that open door. Seems like you would have wanted to close it and have nothing to do with us, because we are so selfish. And the way we treated your Son as a human race when he came down to be our Savior, it was despicable. You must really love us. You must love us so much that you're willing to put up with a lot from us. Thank you for providing a way. Thank you for being willing to give us your only boy, your Son, to come here and die in our place and live the life that we couldn't, so that he could be our divine substitute. Lord, we claim him as our Savior. And we are so glad that he is our high priest now. And as the conquering King of Kings, at your right hand in your throne room, we can simply exercise sincere, repentant faith, and we can have the righteousness of Jesus, faultless to stand before the throne. Thank you for Jesus and the open door that He has provided. May we each, every day, make a decision and do it again and again to make Jesus Christ our personal Savior and to follow Him for the rest of our life. And I ask this in His precious name.